So beginning Seder Kodshim, new week, new Seder. Kodshim, exactly what it sounds like. Most of it talks about the Korbanos. We'll have one Masechta in the middle of it, Chulin, which we'll get to in a bit, which we'll get to in next fall, that's Hashem, which deals with Chulin, with non-Kodshim. No, you have 11 Masechtas in the Seder. Most of them deal with issues of Kodshim, issues having to do with Korbanos. Zvachim deals with most kinds of Korbanos. Menachah specifically deals with issues involving the Korban Mincha. In the middle of it, there's a long digression that deals with the halachas of Tzitzis and Tfilin and Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. Chulin, after that, you have deals with mostly with dinim that apply to all kinds of animals, whether Kodshim or not, dinim of Shchita, Tshefet, Basa V'cholov, Gid Anasha, etc. And the rest of them, again, after that, Torah, Tamura, Erkin, all deal with various things involving Kodshim, the property of the Bit Mikdash, or whatever. Unusually also, at the end of Kodshim, you have a couple of Masechtas that have no Gemara, but are still included in the Daf Yomi cycle. Half of Talmud, all of Midas, and all of Kinim. Okay, so starting with Masechtas Zvachim then, the various kinds of Korbanos we're broadly familiar with, we say them every day in davening. There's a couple of kinds that we don't mention in that perek over there that we're still going to be dealing with a lot in our Masechta. There are brood Korbanos, which doesn't really deal with in that perek. There's the Korban Mincha, which often isn't really dealt with. We'll deal with those as we go along. Some of the basic information that we need to know to begin with any Korban, you have four major avodas that take place with it. Now, you have a lot of steps that take place with any Korban, but there you have four that are considered the essentials of the Korban. You have the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the receiving of the blood in the Keli. The Shechita can be done by anyone. The Kabbalah and everything from the Kabbalah and onwards has to be done by a Kohen. You have Shechita, you have Kabbalah, you have Halacha, walking it over to the Mizbeach. You carry over the Mizrach, the basin with the blood in it, you carry it over to the Mizbeach. And Zrika, throwing or pouring or whatever as the case may be, the blood on the Mizbeach. We'll see as we go through the perek, as we know from Ezra Mokayman, different Korbanos have different ways of applying the blood to the Mizbeach. You have ones where the blood is pillow. Yeah. You have ones where the blood. Yeah. So you have ones where the blood is. We haven't actually started with the words yet, so I'm giving them all background. So you have Korbanos where the blood is brought into the hayichol and then sprinkled over there. Your Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zrika. So Zrika is not necessarily always throwing. In the case of a Chatas Chitonis, for example, it involves he dips his finger in the blood and daubs it on the corners of the Mizbeach. But whatever, it's called Zrika, genetically. All the other things that can happen with a Korban, for example, afterwards, the fat of it is supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. In the case of an oil, the whole thing is supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The skin has to be stripped off. It has to be cut apart, etc. All those are not essential to the Korban in the sense they're supposed to be done. They're part of the mitzvah. But if they're not done, the Korban is still kosher anyway. They're not ma'akev, exactly. Speaking of ma'akev, by the way, thanks for reminding me, is we're going to see as we go through the Masechta, we have, first of all, in general, in Seder Kodshim, and in particular in Zvachim and Menachas, we're going to have much more than we did in previous Masechtas. It's more, in that sense, it's going to be more like Hodeus, that a lot of what we learn is going to be based on Zerushas of Tzokim. So we're going to have to keep our wits about us with the various
different rules.
I was going to just say that there are just certain different rules as well. Yes, I mean, you've learned Zachem before, I guess. I have also, but it was a few years back. But yeah, you have some of. First of all, we're going to be using the Midas Chatzorin and Dreshes Band much more heavily than we do in many places in Chas. And yeah, the application how some of the rules work is different in Kodshim than it is in other areas in Chas. For example, you have a concept that you mentioned being ma'akir that we're going to deal with, that when it comes to positive things that have to be done with the Korbanos in general, unless the Pasuk says at least twice that something has to be done, then it's not ma'akev. If the Pasuk only says one time that something has to be done, it means you should do it, but if you didn't, it's okay anyway. Only if it says twice or more that it has to be done, then it's ma'akev and then the Korban is possible without it. So there's that, we'll have to keep in mind. There's also another further, there's one we're going to see, as Aaron said, when we get to Daphne Test, when we get to Ezra Mokoyman, that you have a concept when it comes to Kodshim. Now, you have many times in Torah, you have, it says something by one place, and you learn from it from a Binyan Av to another place. Normally, in other places in Torah, no problem. Now that you know that, so you first knew that Yid applies by halacha A, in connection with item A. Now you know it also through a binyan ab, you know it also applies to item B. In turn, you can now take from that, you can learn from item B that it also applies to item C, through a kavachomer, through a zereshava, through whatever it is. By kodshim na, we'll see, we'll get to in the fifth parak, in Ezra Mekhoven, we'll get into the nitty gritty of that.
A and B doesn't include.
Means you can't necessarily, you can't take from B and derive from that the same thing is true of C. It's a lomid min halomid, so it doesn't work by kodshim, and we'll see the exact parameters and how exactly that works. Another difference, by the way, another difference that we're going to have in Seder Kodshim, at least in Zvachim and Menachos, that we're going to have much different than we've dealt with before, is there's a lot more going on as far as different Girsos. The issue is we have Rashi and Tosfos on the Sefer. For the most part, though, the Rishonim didn't deal as much with Seder Kodshim as they did with some others. Why? I guess, it's not Negeil Halacha until the Beit Mikdash is built. So I guess they figured they have to spend their time on things that actually people need to know, the practical Halacha as it comes out of the Gemara. Whatever the case, we have Shittim Ukubeses on the side, on some Amudim we also have Soin Kodshim, where they have to correct in many places the Girsa of the Gemara or Rashi or Tosfos as we have it in front of us. Okay. So with all that said, more than another starting. Yeah.
Because there was less
work being done on it by the Rishonim, so there's much more room for errors, for copyist mistakes and whatever. Yet. Okay. One other thing, that's in general background to Seder Kodshim and the Zvachim particularly. For background for our Mishnah and pretty much the whole first parak over here and some later parak in the Masechta is, When a korban is being offered, when those four avodas are being done on a korban, there are certain thoughts that have to be had in mind at the time. There is pigle, for example, right? You had in mind, very good. You have in mind when you're doing one of these four avodas to eat the korban or sprinkle with blood during the wrong time. Chutzla's mana, it's called. But you can also have chutzla mekoimo, that you intended to do one or another of these things outside the azara, or to eat the korban outside your shrine. That's called chutzla mekoimo. The difference
to think about it?
Rashi is here and in a number of places says that it's not thinking per se, it's speaking. Even though we're always going to be using the term machshava, Rashi explains, and Tosfos in a number of places explains also, although in some places they discuss is it so or not, but over here, for example, the end of the first Tosfos over here, they say that the pashtus it means speaking. So Rashi definitely learns that way. Tosfos is fairly certain about that as well. On the other hand, when it comes to the Rambam, the Mishnah Lamelech understands that Rambam to be saying that it means literally thinking. That you think a wrong thought, chutzla's mana, chutzla's koma, or whatever, then already the korban is possible or pigle or whatever as the case may be. The Rambam writes this. I mean, the Rambam is the kodesh the Rambam doesn't say it in so many words. That's the thing. The Mishnah Lamelech deduces it from the way that Rambam phrases it. We don't know. Is that for sure what the Rambam meant? Well, maybe not. So, you know, when Mashiach comes, I guess we can ask him.
Here's the only place where I find where they say that he's saying it.
The Omar having a Sheikh? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we have even on Bays on the Bays. Over here, we're going to talk about twice Lashon Rishon or twice Lashon Achron or whatever. That was also Mashmah that he said.
Oh,
it.
But really?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But that's Lashon here. He says Harani.
Yeah, okay.
Harani.
All right. Anyway, so you can say Harani means he says it in his mind. Okay, whatever it is. So the pastors, we're gonna assume, I guess, many times, like Rashi and Tosfos, that he means that he actually says it. But again, you know, there is the possibility that the Rambam means that he actually just thinks it, and that's enough to make the korban possible or pigle, as the case may be. So again, so you have, there can be a machsheves chutzla's mana, where you think to offer or to eat part of the korban outside of the time you're supposed to, which makes it pigle. You have chutzla mekoimo, where you intend to do one or another of the avodas outside the azara, or to eat it outside your shalayim, that makes it also possible, but possible, not pigle, different kind of thing. You have, our Mishnah is going to start with a different kind of machshava, namely machshavas shinui hashem, it's called. Namely, where you have in mind that it's a different kind of korban. So somebody's bringing an ola, for example, and you have in mind when you're shechting it that it's actually a shlom. That kind of thing is called machshavas shinui hashem. So now our Mishnah is going to start with the detail. So far you have Shinu, you have Machsheves Man, you have Machsheves Mokrim, you have Machsheves Shinu Yashem. You also have, we'll deal with later in the parak, Machsheves Shinu Yabailim, where Reuben is bringing the korban and you shecht it having in mind that Shimon's korban. And then you have, we'll see as we go through, we'll see various other possible machshavas that is possible to have also, that can or can't make the code impossible. We'll see, there are certain kinds of machshavas where even though there are things you're not supposed to do, but if you have them in mind, they don't make the code impossible. We'll get to those eventually also.
If you think about
Avodah Zarah, sure, that's going to make it a Kogan part of his own to talk about. But wait, well, now that you mentioned that point, we'll discuss it a little bit on Beis HaMikdash. So hold on. Okay. So the Mishnah starts up. Kol HaZvachim SheNizbechu Shaloi L'Shmon, all Korbanot that were shechted Shaloi L'Shmon, meaning you had in mind that it was a different type of Korban. Chatas we'll see later in the Mishnah. Hold on. But Rashi gives the example. It was an Olah, for example, and you're shechting it having in mind that it's a Shlom. And by the way, Tosfos points out, it's not only the Shechita. Again, it applies to any of the other four avodas as well. The same thing would apply when it comes to the Kabbalah, for example. If you're a Makabalah, having in mind or saying, as the case may be, that it's a Shalom, whatever. Kshevin, the Korban itself is kosher, so you do go ahead, you still continue with the other avodas, you sprinkle the blood, you burn the fat, even if it's a Korban that has to be eaten, like a Shlomim, you eat it. The only thing is, it doesn't count for the owner, it doesn't fulfill his obligation. So you have, this person was obligated to bring an Ola for one reason or another. Let's say an Ola is typically because you voluntarily did it, a Shlomim also. Some of them, it could be, for example, an Osham, it could be that an Osham is your Mechuyev to bring it, an Osham doesn't come, an Al-Khafas and an Osham don't come a Neder and a Dava. But whatever it is, it doesn't fulfill his obligation, he's going to have to bring another he's going to have to bring another animal for the Korban, which will be shechted properly. The Shitim Kobetis actually points out there are actually two ways in which you can voluntarily give a korban. You can have, they're called neder and nedava. You have neder where you say harei olai, I obligate myself to bring an olah or a shlomim or what have you, and you have harei zu that you designate to begin with this particular animal I plan to bring as an olah or what have you. The difference is that a neder you chayav achriyosin. If anything happens to it before it was brought as a kosher korban, then you have to bring another one. As opposed to a nedava, you said harezu, so if anything happens, it dies, develops a mum, gets stolen, whatever, doesn't matter. You're not chai bachuyusa because you said this animal, and this animal is gone. So by that logic, says the Shishim Kobetis, if we were talking about over here, the person had made this ola, for example, he said harezu, then fine, he wouldn't be chai for another one because the animal's gone, that's it, nothing can be done. If he said harei olai, if he said it was a neder, that's when the Mishnah is saying he's going to have to bring another one. Except for the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chatas, those two, if you have in mind a Machsheves Shinui Hashem, you have in mind that in one of the Avodas that it's a different kind of Korban, then that's it. It's completely possible. You break things off right there. You don't sprinkle the blood. You don't burn the fat. You don't nothing.
Any of the eventualities?
No. We're only talking about Machsheves Shinui Hashem, right?
Okay.
We're only talking about Shinui Hashem. Shinui Bailim and Shinui the rest we'll deal with later. But right now we're dealing strictly with Shinui Hashem. So your person brings a chatas, and whoever shechts it, again, remember Zohar can shecht it as well, whoever shechts it has in mind that it's actually an Ola, or it's actually a Shlomim, or what have you, some other kind of Korban, then it's completely possible. That's it. You break things off right over there. You take it, you burn it, where we're disqualified, Korbanos are burnt, and that's that. And there, of course, the guy was not Yotzi, and he has to bring another Korban, but the point is, unlike, again, with an Olo or a Shlomim, you don't continue the Avodah.
And the Pesach is?
Pesach and the Chatas. That's what I'm saying. Pesach, the same thing.
Pesach was what?
The Korban Pesach.
It's not a Chatas.
No, that's what we're saying. There's two things. The Pesach and the Chatas. Those are the two exceptions for reasons that we will eventually get to in the Gemara. We'll learn from Sukkim that the Pesach and the Chatas are the exception where if those were shechted, Shaloi L'Shma, with Machsheves, Shinui Hashem, then they're completely no good. A Pesach is manner. Now, where as far as the Korban Pesach, it only applies when it's being brought in its time, meaning on Erev Pesach afternoon, because we're going to deal with later, we're going to deal with over and over through the Masechta, a concept that an animal that's supposed to be a Korban Pesach, if it's brought any other time other than those 5.5 or whatever it is hours on Erev Pesach, then instead of being a Pesach, it becomes a Shlom. So when we say over here a Pesach, means Davka, you're shechting it on Erev Pesach, but then you have in mind that it's some other Korban. If you were to shecht, if you were to take the same animal and shecht it in the morning, okay, the morning actually we'll see as a Machlokas, but whatever, if you were shecht it, let's say on Yud Gimel Nisan or any other time during the year, then it would be like a Shlomim, then it would be like the first clause of the Mishnah, that it's a kosher Korban, but the owner wasn't Yotze, then he has to bring another one. So that's the Pesach of his man. The Chatas applies any time during the year, because any time during the year you could be bringing a Chatas. So those two, again, those two would be completely possible with Shaloi L'Shmon, if it was Shinui Hashem. The other Korban is not. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afa Oshem. Rabbi Eliezer says it's the third one on that list. Not just the Pesach and the Chatas, also the Oshem. So therefore, he re-says the rule as follows. A Pesach is man, v'achatas v'asham of all man. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says, what's the logic? Later on in the Perek, when we deal with the Limudim, we're going to see it. We have a Limud by Pesach, and we have a Limud by Chatas. We have written extra words in the Pesach, from which we learn that they have to be Lishman. So where is Rabbi Eliezer getting, so Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah over here, where am I getting the idea that it applies to an Asham? So the logic is like this. I'm making a binyana. A Chatas ba'achet va'asham ba'achet. A Chatas is brought for a person did an Aveira, and Asham is typically, in other words, a chatas is brought for an aveira, and osham is also typically brought for an aveira. Tosfos points out not always. We have in this week's parasha, for example, Yoledes bringing the chatas even though she didn't do any aveira per se. But okay, in general, you have the gemara. We'll see later in the Masechta, but we say every day in Ezer Makoma. There's a difference in how the blood is applied. The major difference is how the blood is applied to the Mizbeach. The Chatas, again, the Kohen dips his finger in the Mizrach and then daubs it each individually on each of the four corners in the Mizbeach. It goes there, a dip, daub, etc. As opposed to the Oshem, it's Shema Tana Shrein Agra. Like with many other Korbanos, you take the basin of blood, you take the Mizrach, and you throw it at one corner of the Mizbeach, so the blood goes along parts of two sides. You go caddy corner to the other, to the opposite corner, do the same thing. So you have Shema Tana, two applications, Shrein Agra, where it comes out four sides, comes out that there's blood on all four sides of the Mizbeach.
So they go both to the Kapara.
Most of the time, a Chatas and an Oshem are usually brought, they're usually brought specifically for a Chet, he's saying. They're usually brought for an Aveira. A chatas is, we learned in Horius, you have, and we'll learn later on, eventually when we get to Masechta Krisus, Be'ez Hashem, that you have 36 things in the Torah for which you're chayav chatas, if you do them, 36 things for which a person is chayav chatas, a couple of them are essays, a couple of others are ein bei ma'aseh, or whatever, but most of them, 30 odd of them, you bring chatas for if they were done with shogeg. And Asham is typically also for an Aveira, Asham Zeilas, Asham Me'ilas, Asham Shifta Harufa. So, okay, not always. As Tosus points out, you have a chatas, for example, that's brought by Yeledes. You have an Asham that's brought, for example, a Nozir brings an Asham, a Mitzoda brings an Asham. But in general, a chatas is usually brought for a chatas.
They always try to make a drasha to say what was the sin that person did.
Well, fine, okay, a drasha. But at least on a simple level, when you come to bring an Asham Nozir or a Shamat, when you come to bring a regular chatas, the Kohen are going to ask you what Aveda is this for. Because we will see later on that when it comes to a chatas, whoever is doing the Aveda of it has to have, besides the various other things that we were saying before, Lishma and Lashem Hashem and so forth, as the other things that we'll see. In the case of a chatas, you also have to know which Aveda is it being brought for. You can't have a guy bring a chatas for chaylev and you mistakenly shecht it or catch the blood or whatever, thinking that it's a chatas for dam. That won't work. So they're going to have to ask him. Mashen, can you bring an asham nozer, asham mitzvah? They're not going to have to ask him what aveira it's for. You're a mitzvah. Okay, you bring a bunch of korbanos. This is one of them.
You'll see he's got long hair.
Well, that too, I guess, yeah. All right. So Rabbi Eliezer says, so what's the logic? Why am I saying that the same rule applies to a chatas? To an Asham and to a Chatas, because a Chatas ba'achet, va'asham ba'achet. A binyanav, a Chatas comes for Averis, an Asham comes for Averis. Ma Chatas psula shalei l'shma, so by logic, just like a Chatas is possible if you shecht it shalei l'shma, a Asham possible shalei l'shma, by that logic, the Asham also has to be possible if you shecht it shalei l'shma. The Chachamim will answer him that they have a limud later on, as we'll see later on in the parish, they have a limud to say that it's not so. It's a very nice svara, but we have a limud from a pasuk that tells us otherwise. We're talking about the Kohen who does the Avodah. Again, anybody can shecht. First of all, when it comes to the person bringing the Chatas, he himself could conceivably shecht, shechitah, trade of his own. But after that, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrika, is not necessarily going to be done by him unless he himself is a Kohen.
Lishma means
that he has in mind that this is a Chatas, not that it's an Olo or a Shlomim or an Asham or what have you.
And he says, I'm shechting this because it is a Chatas.
Yeah. So again... We're going to discuss for question. What if he just says, stop? Hold on. Besides that, whether he has to say it or not, that we said before, exactly. But besides that also, what if he does it without any particular statement or without any particular thought at all? We'll discuss on Amud Bey that question. But right now we're talking about, in terms of the Mishnah, there's either he shechts it explicitly saying or explicitly thinking this is a chatas, or he shechts it explicitly thinking or explicitly saying this is an osham or this is an ola or what have you. In the first case, it's kosher, that's what he's supposed to do. In the second case, it's possible.
Part of the
Shchita,
he thinks it's an Asham, and the second part
is
a Chatas,
or vice versa. So that gets into the question called Yeshen. I think we're going to be discussing it here in Zvachim as well, but I don't remember. I know the Gemara discusses that issue in Chulin. I don't remember if it discusses it in Zvachim also. Mm-hmm.
Right. Here's the question. Hareini Sheikhet Liyet
Midami
Lamacher.
Bahad
was
Midami
Lamacher. So Hareini Sheikhet Al Shame, you know.
That's something else. That's Machashwin Mavoid Al Avoid.
But that's like he says here, I'm shechting it.
Let's not confuse the issue. That's a whole other matter. That you can have, you're doing one avoida and you're having in mind what another avoida is going to be done l'shem what. Let's not confuse the issue. We'll get to that eventually. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. More opinions on the subject. Yosi ben Choni. I mean, here's opinion number three. Yosi ben Choni. Had ishchotim l'shem Pesach or l'shem Chatos Tefillin. So here we're talking about, according to the Tanakhama and according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have an animal that's supposed to be brought as a Chatos, and instead whoever shechts it or catches the blood or what have you has in mind that's an Olo or a Shlomim or whatever. Yosi ben Choni, and we're saying that is possible. What? I'm sorry, what? Whoever is doing any one of these avodas has to have the right intention. So in other words, the person who's shechting has to have in mind that it's the shem chatos. The person who receives the blood in the mizrach also has to have in mind. The person who is walking it over to the mizbeach, again, it may be the same person, it's not necessarily, also. And yeah, each one who does any of the four avodas. That's what we're saying.
If one person thinks about one and the other one thinks about the other one,
well, so then you could have that case, right? Now you could have that. For example, the shechita may have been done l'shma, and the kabbalah is done shalom l'shma. That also passes it. Again, all four avodas are essential to the korban. So if you have a machshava shalom l'shma, again, by other korbanos, all it'll do is it'll make it the korban will be kosher, but it's not only l'vayim. In the case of the pesach or the chatos, and now Rabbi Eliezer is saying also the asham, it'll make it completely possible. You just break things off there and then take the whole thing out for it.
Rabbi Yosef ben Choni is saying
like. So we were talking about a case where you had an animal that was supposed to be a chatos, and you shecht it having in mind that it was an ola, or you shecht it properly and you receive the blood thing that it's an ola, etc. What about the other way around? He's saying, so now Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer would say, what about the other way around? If you're bringing an ola, and the person who's shechting it thinks that it is a chatos and shechts it, according to the Tanakama and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be kosher. It's a chatos shechted l'sholei l'shma is possible, not something that's shechted l'shem chatos is possible. Yosef ben Choni is saying
either
that.
Way.
Either way, right. So he says that, no, if you take another korban and shecht it, and ishchotim l'shem Pesach, or l'shem chatos tefillin, you take something that was supposed to be a different korban, and you shecht it on, in the case of the Pesach, on Erev Pesach afternoon, or in the case of any other time during the year, as a chatos, then it's also possible.
Excluding the other korbanos.
Right, well, again, in other words, according to him, again, if you had an ola that was shechted as a shlomim, then it'll be kosher.
Right.
A shlomim is an ola, the same thing. But in other words, he will say, this that you, Tanakama, are saying, an ola shechted as a chatos is kosher, but a chatos shechted as an ola is possible, Yosef ben Choni will say it goes either way. If one is possible, the other is possible.
In one direction?
Shimon Achi Azariah. Remember, Shimon Achi Azariah has a fourth opinion. Who is Shimon Achi Azariah? So he is actually... it's unusual to name somebody after his brother, Shimon, the brother of Azariah. Rashi brings over here on the basis of Gemara and Sota, which we'll get to in a few days during Sefirah of Esther Shem, that the deal was Azariah was doing business. He ran a business. Shimon was learning Torah full-time. So they made a deal that Azariah will give money to Shimon to help support him in learning, like a Yisachar Zvulun relationship, and therefore he will get some of the schar of Shimon's learning. So therefore, so over here, when we're quoting him in the Mishnah, so Shimon is named in honor of his brother Azariah, because it's his brother Azariah who made it possible for him to learn. Some people say, by the way, that this Azariah might be the father of Rebbe Lozman Azariah. Okay, anyway. So Shimon Achi Azariah, so here's a fourth opinion. It depends. Shochtam l'shem gavoya mehen, if you shech a different korban, having in mind something higher than it, meaning something of higher than Kedusha, then shech. Then it would be kosher. So for example, let's say you have a shlomim, is a lower level of Kedusha, it's kodshim kalim, an ola is kodshe kodshim. So if you were to take a shlomim and shech it, having in mind that it's an ola, then it would be kosher, he says. L'shem nomuch mehen
the lower to the higher.
The lower to the higher would be kosher, says
Shimon.
But the higher to lower, says Shimon Achi Azariah, is not. L'shem nomuch mehen psulin. But if you shechted it, having in mind something lower, then it would be possible.
That's
size 8 foot goes into a size 10 shoe, but a size 10 foot doesn't go into a size 8.
I guess so. Rashi points out that later on, eventually, when we get to Daf Yud Aleph, when the Gemara starts dealing with this segment of the Mishnah, we're going to deal with what Shimon Achi Azariah says, Hashem Gevorah Man Kshedin, does he mean completely kosher and the owner is even Yotze, his chiyuv, or does he mean just kosher in the same sense as that's Tanakhama used, the kosher in the sense you continue with the avodah, but the owner has to bring a different one. That we'll deal with when we get there. Okay. So anyway, so for example, he says, well, that's the question. In other words, right, he's definitely saying if it's L'shem Gavoyah Mehen, it's kosher. But again, do we mean kosher in the sense the owner does not even have to bring another carbon? Or do we mean kosher in the sense that you still continue bringing it as a carbon, but the owner has to substitute it otherwise?
It's impossible, they have to get rid of it.
By the way, I don't want to confuse the issue too much, but we are going to deal with later on in the Masechta an issue where sometimes you have a korban which, even though it's possible and it's not supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach, Bidi Evid, if it was brought on the Mizbeach, sometimes you leave it there and let it be. No, it's not kosher, but sometimes Bidi Evid, you leave it there and let it be brewed. As opposed to other times, you Bidavka take it off there and take it away.
That.
So that we'll deal with later on. Hey, it's not it. Okay. So he teaches out, Kesad, so what does this mean? Kodshe kodshim sheshochtem l'shem kodshim kalam. If you have kodshe kodshim, an ola, a chasas, okay, we said there's an exception anyway, an ola, an osham, etc., that was shechted as shlomim or toidor or b'chor or whatever, then the psulin. On the other hand, kodshim kalam, sheshochtem l'shem kodshe kodshim. But if the other way around, if you took kodshim kalam, shlomim or b'chor or whatever, and shechted it's having in mind that kodshe kodshim, shechted, and then they would be kosher. And it's not only within the different types, not only within the different major groupings, kachim, kachim versus kachim kalim, but even within the same grouping itself, you have a hierarchy, which actually we're going to deal with in more detail again later on in the sector. We'll deal with the exact hierarchy of how each korban is higher than the next one. Again, the Chachamim in our Mishnah had just one thing. They said, Pesach v'achatos, our kosher also shaloi l'shma. Everything else is kosher shaloi l'shma. It's loy olo l'bayla, and that's that. Yeah, all this distinction that Nomoch and Gavoya is only according to Shimon Achi Azariah. The basic idea that you have the korbanos are different levels, obviously everybody agrees to that. We know there are kosher kochim, we know there are kosher kalim, but even within that, we have, when we say every day, Nezer v'koyman, when we list the order in which we list them is pretty much the order that we're going to have them later on in Perek Kol HaTadu, later on in our Masechta, of the actual order of Kedusha. So, for example, within the Kodshim Kalim, we have what? Mishnah Vav, Zayin, and Ches, of Ezer, and Mekoyim, and all deal with Kodshim Kalim. You have the Toda, you have the Shlomim, and you have the Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. But that the Vorta is the Bechor and the Meiser are lower, and therefore they come later, than the Shlomim. Why is that? So Rashi brings over here from there. Because the shlomim, the blood of it has to be applied to more places on the Mizbeach. It means Machatis things means Shayim Shein Abba, whereas Bechorah, Nisa, and Pesach, you only have one pour of the blood on the Mizbeach. Well, they are Gavoya. You know, the shlomim is Gavoya in the sense that there are more mitzvahs that apply to it. There's more applications of blood. It needs smicha. Shlomim needs smicha. Bechorah and Nisa do not. The owner has to lean his hands on it. It needs nesachim.
Your hand is not smicha.
Yes, to lean your hand in smicha. I'm saying a shlomim. When a person brings a shlomim, he does smicha on it. A bechor and a meiser not. What? Yeah. Okay. So what it is it depends. If he's bringing an ola, then he would be the. Well, I think we're going to learn later on in our Masechta. I think I mentioned it. So that when you bring an ola, you say vidui on esses that you missed out on thoughts of averus that you had or whatever hiru aver or whatever. When it comes to a chatas, obviously you say vidui on the particular avera that you did. Same thing with an osham. In the case of a shlomim, the Rambam says what you do is when you're doing the smicha, you say praises to Hashem.
So the seer of Yom Kippur.
The seer of Yom Kippur is something else. The kind of God who makes vidri on it. So it depends. Some korbanos you're saying vidri, and some korbanos you're saying praise. And then there are some korbanos, for example, Bechor and Meiser, where you don't have smicha at all. Nobody leans on them at all.
It's amazing. We go out of our way so much to do all this for Shegud. And for Meiser, you can't do a korban usually.
Sure.
Except for Shikha.
What's amazing, that seems to be logical.
Because for Mesa, basically, you need something more than a carbon.
It's really amazing to show you how important it is to be careful with all your mitzvahs.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so anyway, so Rashi points out anyway, based on the Gemara later, that again, a shlomim is higher than Bechor and Meister, in the sense you have to put the blood more on the Mizbeach, two dashes of blood, and Shayim Shein Abba, instead of just one. It needs smicha, Bechor and Meister doesn't. It needs nesachim, you have to bring flour and wine and then oil with it. Bechor and Meiser don't. And the shlomim, you have, you take the chest and the right leg of it, you wave them together with the chaylev, you wave them in all directions together with the kohen, whereas by bechorah ma'aser you don't. But for all those reasons, the shlomim ranks higher than bechorah ma'aser, even though they're all kodshim kav. So therefore, he continues in the mission over here. So if you have b'chor ma'aser which was shechted or whatever the avodas were done, having in mind that the shlomim, then Shimon Achi Azariah is saying shevin, they will be kosher because a shlomim ranks higher than them for all these reasons. But shlomim shachem, l'shem b'chor, l'shem ma'aser. But if it was the other way around, if you took a shlomim and shechted it, having in mind that it was a b'chor ma'aser psulim, then they would be kosher because that's considered a lower level. Even within kodshim kalam itself, they're a lower level than shlomim. So we have four opinions in the Mishnah about what.
They're the lowest,
basically. Right. Yeah. So those are the four opinions, and we'll see in the next Mishnah later on. We're gonna have more opinions about what korbanos are and aren't kosher shalai l'shma. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. First of all, the Gemara starts off with a bit of a linguistic thing. Lomali l'misne ela shalai olu. Why does the Mishnah have to use this expression that all korbanos that were brought shalai l'shma are kosher? Ella, only that they didn't count for the bayah. That's a longer lashon than you need. You should always try to use the shortest possible lashon that gets the point across. Listen, v'loy ol ol bayah, l'shem chayva. Why use the X word Ella? Just say they're kosher, v'loy ol ol bayah, and they don't count for the owner. Ella implies the Shittim Kabbeta says that the Ella sort of implies like they have their kedusha, they retain their kedusha, but nevertheless, they're not oila for the owner. So what is that telling us? That's what it is. Hakamashmulan labayim who deloy olu l'shem chayva. That's exactly what it means. They taka don't count for the owner's chayv. He's going to have to bring another one. Ava b'kedusha sayu kaimi. However, that is exactly the implication. They still retain their kedusha, but also l'shanuyi b'hu. So you're not allowed to make any further changes with them. So let's say, for example, the shchita was done shalay l'shma. So again, we're saying at that point it can't be undone. This korban is now not counting for the owner. He's going to have to bring a different owner. However, don't think, okay, well, once I already had a machshava shalai l'shma by the shchita, then it doesn't matter what machshavas I have by the kabbalah and the halacha and the zrika. No, don't think like that. You're still responsible to make sure that the other avodas are done l'shem owner. It's not counting for the owner anymore. Doesn't matter.
And if you don't?
You
have to bring
either way, the owner has to bring another carbon.
So you can't make pickle from it anymore.
That's true, but we're not getting into that yet. But the point is, you shouldn't think, because there was already a machsheva shalai l'shman on it, therefore it doesn't matter what I do with the rest of the avodah. It does matter. It doesn't make the carbon any more possible than it did before, but you're responsible. Well, again, the owner is going to have to bring a second carbon.
No. A second carbon meaning adding to the second replacement. The first carbon is
done. You still need
a second one.
Yeah, the owner is going to have to bring a second one.
And
if there's machshavas shalai l'shma on the second one, it doesn't matter. No. You don't have to bring any more. No, I see what you're getting at. No. So even let's say the shchita and the kabbalah were done shalai l'shma.
Right.
No, the owner just has to bring one. The owner just has to bring one more. No.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, because the korban still has its original kedusha. As we're going to see, as the Gemara is going to explain now, just because the korban had a machshavas shinui hashem on it does not mean that now it loses its kedusha and now you can do whatever you want with it. You still have the mitzvah. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn that you actually, a kohen, has a specific mitzvah from the Torah not to have a wrong machshava when it comes to kodesh. Whether the kind that makes it possible or pigle or what have you. So therefore, what we're saying is, even though it's already in this case slightly possible in the sense that it's not counting for the owner, nevertheless, you, the Kohen, have the responsibility of making sure that you're not over on that mitzvah lo yechosh of thinking a wrong machshava. You
and
make sure that
the chesed itself has a...
And the chesed itself has kedusha, right.
Yeah, and you can't do anything with it except to continue the process.
Right.
You can't put it in space.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay, I mean, the Pashtus, even the Mishnah Lamelach's understanding of the Rambam, that would be if you have a machshava. The Pashtus, he wouldn't mean like just like something jumps into your brain and then you immediately you're doicher, like a benini is supposed to do with machshava zolos. The Pashtus means like you actually think about it and actually let it take up residence in your brain. I don't know. Again, according to Rashi, and according to Tosfos, that it means actually speaking and not talk about it. Yeah.
You think about your taxes.
Yeah, it's always the way you try not to think about something and you do things. We'll see. Actually, the Gemara is going to address that point on the base. That point that sometimes is trying to overthink something may cause that you think the wrong thought. So we'll get back to that. Okay. All right. But also the Shinui Bahu, so therefore you're not allowed to continue, you're not allowed to do any of the other avodas with the Machshavas Shinui Idu, even though Machshavas Shinui was already done. The Chidur Rava, and like this is like what Rava says, the Omer Rava, Ola Sheshachta Shaloi Lishma, even you have an Ola where it was shechted with a thought of Shaloi Lishma, and again, now it's still a kosher Ola, but it's not, but the owner is not Yotza with it. Nevertheless, also, Lizrek Dama Shaloi Lishma, you're not allowed to go and do the Zrika, or whichever of the other Avodas, Shaloi Lishma. You, Koyan, that are doing the Zrika, you are responsible for making sure that you still have in mind that it's being done L'Shem Ola. Okay, now why is that? Iboyisem a svara, iboyisem a kra. I can give you a svara for that effect, and I can give you a pasuk for that effect.
Why do you need a svara if you have a kra?
Okay, because otherwise it might have, it's a good question, but sometimes also, because the Eivishter wants that we're not just going to have everything spoon fed for us. And we want to use it, the Eivishter wants to use our own brain also.
Is it kosher to have a svara when you have a kra?
Yeah. The Gemara is even putting the Svara first. Iboyisem a Svara, you can say it's a logical thing. What should you say? Mishum Shani Ba, just because you made one change in it, Kohani Lishana Ba Velezel, what's the logic? Because of that, you should go ahead and continue making other changes in it? No. One thing went wrong, fine, but you should still make sure that you do your part correct. So that's the Svara. Iboyisem a Kra, or I can bring you a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Moitzas Fasecha Tishmer Vasita, you should make sure... You should be careful to fulfill what you said, what came out of your lips. As you made a neder to Hashem, you got a nedavah. Now, we just said before, neder and nedavah are two different kinds of things. Neder is harei olai. It's an obligation on me, the gavra. Harei zu is this animal is going to be a korban. So it's on the chesed.
Yeah,
no, no, no. Hold on. No, we're talking about over here when the person originally made a neder or a nedava to bring this curve. We're talking about the owner. So what we're saying is like this. The pasuk is said, the point of the pasuk is that you are obligated to fulfill Hashem nedarta and nedava. So the question is, what do you mean? The two things are contradictory. It's either a neder or it's a nedava. It can't be both. High nedava, neder. What do you mean it's a nedava? It's a neder. It's a kasher nedarta. You said hare a lie. I, the gavra, have the obligation to bring a korban. Why is the pasuk finishing off with the word? Why is the pasuk finishing off with the word nedava, as if it's hare zu, as if it's a thing on the chesta, on the animal? Ella, no. What the pasuk is coming to teach us is kamash nedarta. Im kamash nedarta osita, if it ended up that you did, or you, or whoever, or your shliach, the kohen, ended up doing the avoda exactly the way you would neder, so in other words, everything was, all four avodas were done l'shma, then good, yehei neder, then it's a neder, and it accounts for your neder. The imloi, nedava yehei, if not, then it counts as a nedava. If one avoda, one or more avodas were done shalai l'shma, then what it is it changes from a neder to a nedava, effectively. If we treat it as if it was brought as a nedava. So therefore, you're not yotzi, you're neder. That's where we get the, but nevertheless, what's the point for our purposes? When nedava mishari the shanu yibas. Now, continues the Rava. What's the logic? Yeah, exactly. That's the point. You can't. Just because if somebody is bringing a korban as a nedava, you're certainly not allowed to change in it. The same issue in the Torah, lo yechashev, applies equally to a neder and a nedava. So even if you bring the korban to the kohen and you tell him specifically, I'm bringing this in as a nedava, he's not allowed to do any machshava. He's not allowed to do any wrong machshava in it. So that's the point. That's the pasuk teaches us. Even though it now becomes like an nedava, and therefore you, the owner, are not yotze, you're chayva, and you're going to have to bring it up from a neder, and you're going to have to bring another one. Nevertheless, the kohen is still going to be responsible, just like he would if it really was an nedava to begin with, to make sure that no wrong machshavas are done. So like this, one machshava was done wrong, okay, it can't be helped, but the kohen is still responsible to make sure no further wrong machshavas are done. That's what it is. Even though something was done wrong by somebody else, you're still, or even by yourself, you're still responsible to make sure from now on it should be done correctly. Again, we said it's not yoy, so that's what we're saying. Now, effectively, what happens is it turns from a neder into an adava. You originally said, Hare Olai Ola. So now you're obligated to bring an Ola to the business. Whoever shechted it with a machshavas shaloi l'shma, which is a neder, right? Whoever shechted it as shaloi l'shma. What we're saying is like this. The kohenim still have the responsibility of making sure the rest of the avodas are done l'shma. However, at this point, once one of the avodas was done shaloi l'shma, now it turns from a neder into an adava. Now it's the equivalent of that you just brought it because you decided one day I'm going to bring this particular animal to carbon. You haven't been yotzi. You're neder yet. Your neder is still harei olayis. Still obligated on you to bring an animal as part.
Everybody agrees with that.
Well, that's what we said in the Mishnah. We had that. Everybody agreed with that basic concept that there are korbanos where the korban is kosher when it's shalosh l'shmah. Or we have the three ways.
No,
yeah, I mean, we don't find anybody who's arguing. But yeah. When the Tanakhama started saying kol atzvachim shenizb chushlo l'shmon el shlo olol bayim l'shem kova, everybody agreed with that basic concept. The machloekas is which specific korbanos are we saying are kosol of shlo l'shmon? Is it only the chatos and is it only the pesach and the chatos like the Tanakhama says? Is it also the asham like Rabbi Eliezer? Is it korbanos that are shechted as a pesach or as a chatos when really there was supposed to be some other korban like Rabbi Yisrael Chayni, or is it higher or lower like Shimon Achiyazat? Okay. Omelet Rabbi Nachman Papa. So Ravina one time said to the Papa, Loi havis gabon ba'urta, it's a pity, he's saying, you weren't by us yesterday evening, b'tchuma Bechemach, in the tchum of the city of Bechemach, is the name of the place. And in other words, this was, he's talking to him after Shabbos, last night, or yesterday, Shabbos, you weren't within the tchum of the place Bechemach, because if you had been within the tchum, you would have been able to come to the Beis Medrash and hear that major things were going on over there. The Rami Rava Mili Mal Yosa Adadi, because Rava pointed out a stira between major halachas. Mal Yosa literally means like high level halachas, like beautiful halachas or whatever. He pointed out things that where you seem to have a contradiction between two types of halachas. Vishani, when he pointed out the answer. So it's a pity, Rav Papa, you weren't there to hear the whole drasha. My milim malyasa. So what are these great things that Rava was pointing out a stira in? Like this. Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah kolas vachim shenizbuch shloy l'shmon chola. We said that a korban that was shechted shloy l'shmon is kosher, with the exceptions that we said in the Mishnah. But it doesn't just that it doesn't count for the owner, implying time of the shloy l'shmon. Why is it that it's not that the owner is not yotze with it? Because specifically, one of the avodas was done specifically shalei l'shmon. The person thought or spoke or whatever. I'm stressing this as a different type of korban, or I'm receiving the blood as a different type of korban or whatever. Hasama, implying the Mishnah seems to imply that if you did it with stam, you didn't have anything in particular in mind. You just shechted it, not having in mind. Then it sounds like it would be olunami labailam l'shem chayva. It sounds like the owner would be yotze with it. Not only it would be kosher, but the owner would even be yotze. Right, because he didn't think that it was an oil, he didn't think it was a shlomim, he just damn shechted it, yeah.
After the carbon, did he think about it?
No, that's what we're saying. Well, on the face of it, the Mishnah seems to be implying that as long as he didn't somebody is bringing an oil, as long as the person who shechted it did not explicitly think or say this is a shlomim, then it would be, if he thought that it was an oil, that's the right thing to do. If he thinks that it's a shlomim, we're saying the owner is not yotzer. If he doesn't think anything, the Mishnah seems to be implying that not only is kosher, but the owner is yotze. Alma stama nami to the shmon dami, fine, which seems to imply then that in general, that we have a rule, therefore it sounds like in halacha, we should be able to generalize from this, that when you do something which is supposed to be l'shmon, and you just do it stam, without having any particular thought in mind, it sounds like it would be kosher. However, Rava pointed out, or Domini, I have a contradiction to that. We find in a different halacha where something has to be done l'shma, and there it means you actually have to have the right thought in mind, namely by a get. Kol a get shenichtav shaloi l'shem isha pozul. We say that if a get is written not in the name of the particular woman, meaning that that slaver didn't have her in mind when he actually wrote it, posel, implying ustam, and we know ustam nami posel, and we know that the din is that it's not only if he had in mind some other woman, it's even if he wrote it stam. For example, Rashi brings the example from the Gemara in Gittin. Let's say, for example, he wrote out a sample get with the name Leah, having in mind that if a woman named Leah ever comes and needs a get, then he can use it for her. That would also be possible.
Can you apply that to the Shabbat?
Well, that's the question. Why shouldn't we apply it? Why should we say, why should it be that by Kodshim we say that Stam is possible, and by Gittin it has to be actually literally Lishma? What's the difference? Both of them have to be Lishma. So that was the point that...
Kodshim Stam
is kosher, it seems. Yes, that's what we're asking. Why is it by Kodshim Stam is kosher, and by a gift, Stam is possible? That's the question. Yeah. So that was the point that Robert brought up. Yeah. So that's a really malleus. This is the amazing idea that Robert is bringing up. Yeah. Vishani, and then Rava went ahead and answered as follows. The difference is, Zvachim b'stam l'shmon oindin. The difference is, minastam, when you're shechting a korban or doing any of the other avodas for the korban, by default, you're doing it l'shma. By default, somebody is bringing an ola, and what? Yeah, well, they're not even avera. For example, an ola is not necessarily brought for an avera.
That's supposed to be going.
Yeah, the person brought it, says, I'm bringing an ola. Somebody takes it from him and shechts it. Nesama, even if they didn't say so, in so many words, it's implied that they're doing it l'shem ola. So if it was specifically said or specifically thought that it's l'shem shlomim, okay, that's different. But as long as that wasn't explicitly taken away, then yeah. As opposed to the average woman is not, it's not an expected thing that she's going to get divorced. So therefore, you have to say, so therefore, you have to have her in mind when the get is being written, because otherwise, you can't just say, minastam, this woman eventually is going to be divorced, because there's no stam, but exactly, minastam, this animal is going to be brought as an ola, but you can't say, minastam, this woman is going to be nisgarish. And by the way, Tosfos points out, what about, even let's say she was mizadeh. First of all, not necessarily is she, so in that case, the husband has to divorce her. First of all, Tosfos says that not necessarily, though, is this particular get going to be used for it. And second of all, anyway, conceivably, Tosfos actually says, if the husband taka wants, he doesn't taka have to divorce her. He could have her live there, and they just won't have relations anymore. She's also to him, as in so to these days, kashem shasur labal, kachasur laboyol, but apparently Tosfos is saying that's allowed. So the pastor, it would have to be, you'd have to have Edim over there to make sure that they're not alone together. Well, then obviously Ona doesn't apply, but she's also to him now. Offer to him now, so obviously the owner doesn't apply. Would Sharon Ksus apply? It's a good question. I don't know. On the side over here, there are Rebecca Vega quotes over here, and Yuri Nashas references a Truva Maram Alashker that deals with this issue in greater detail. But whatever. So that's the difference, in other words, that when you bring an animal to the Beis Mikdash for a korban, minastam, it's going to be brought, by default, it's going to be brought for whatever korban it is, as opposed to there's no default when it comes to divorcing a woman. Okay. So now we have to ask, okay, but where do you get, but where do we get that idea from? Uzvachim b'stamach sherim minolon. Where, Taka, do we get that idea? That if a korban is shechted b'stam, then it's kosher. Fine, we're deducing it from our Mishnah. And where is the Tana himself getting it from? Or actually, the question is not so much on the Tana, where he's getting it from. The question is more on Rava, where Rava is saying, this is what we can deduce from the Mishnah. How does Rava know that's a valid deduction? No, we're asking, yeah, where do we find something that shows us that if a korban is brought, without any particular intention, just stamp, that it should be kosher?
What did he get it from?
Yes, where does Rava get it? Where is that? Where is Rava getting it from? That yes. The premise of his question was that by Zvachim, yes, and by Gittin, no. So how does he know by Zvachim, yes? Yeah, okay, he has the deal from our Mishnah. How does he know that the valid deal? Are you going to say he's learning it from the wording of our Mishnah that says that the korban was shechted shaloi l'shmon? Right. As opposed to, you could argue that instead the Mishnah could have used the word that it was shechted, that it was not shechted l'shmon. And if it said it that way, the difference is nizbechu shaloi l'shmon implies that it was explicitly shaloi l'shmon. Loy nizbechu l'shmon means it was not, that he did not specifically have l'shmon in mind. So if it had said that way, it would mean that stam is possible. By saying it the way it does, nizbechu shaloi l'shmon, you Rava are saying you're inferring from that stam is kosher. Okay, but that doesn't work. I mean, get nami, hakatani kola get shenichtem shaloi l'shem ish apostol. Over there, by get also, it uses exactly the same kind of wording. A get that was written not for the shame of the ish apostle. Again, it doesn't say over there that it wasn't written for the shame of the Isha, only then is it possible. So, that it was written not for the name of the woman, which is exactly like the wording in our Mishnah,
right.
So we're trying to say that our Mishnah implies that the stam is kosher and by gifting is not, but you can't learn from the wording. The wording is exactly the same in both cases. So that can't be where Rava is getting that idea from. Right.
What did he say?
Well, that's where it's figured. That's what let's continue.
He must know what he's talking about.
Yes. Ela mehod tnan. Okay, so maybe Rava is getting it from this that we learn. From this that we learn as follows. Okay, take out the tnan over here because it's not a Mishnah. Ketzad l'shmon v'shaloi l'shmon. Now, sometimes you can have, okay, so you were asking before, or one of you, I think it was you, was asking before, but if you have a different machshava in the middle of shchita, but never mind that. Never mind that. But you can also have where, for example, that you can have within the same action itself, as he's doing the shchita, he actually has two different things in mind, l'shmon and shaloi l'shmon. So, for example, you could have that. That's Ketzat Shemon Shloi Lashman, L'shem Pesach or L'shem Shlom. Let's say not you saying you start the Shechita having in mind that it's Pesach and end the Shechita thinking that it's a Shlom. As you're doing the Shechita, you have in mind, I'm shechting this as a Pesach and as a Shlom. Does that work or not? So, and the Mishnah says, and it says, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Again, a Pesach has to be completely l'shma,
right,
and therefore it's possible. Implying, Taima de'om l'shem Pesach l'shem Shlom. Again, the implication seems to be why is it possible? Because he mentioned, he thought of Pesach and Shlomim. Ho l'shem Pesach u'stama, implying, though, it would seem that if he did it l'shem Pesach and Stam, meaning he didn't have any thought of Shlomim afterwards. So, okay, actually, so it is. We are talking about the beginning and the end of the shchita over here, Rashi says. We're talking about the soif shchita is stoma ishtachit. It was shechit stam. So he began by thinking that it's l'shem Pesach, and then later on he just sees his mind goes blank and he doesn't think of anything at all. Or at the beginning he says l'shem Pesach, and then at the end he doesn't say anything at all. So it sounds like that would be kosher, because otherwise the Mishnah could have said that if he did it l'shem Pesach and stam, that would be possible. Now, Tosfos points out the question. Again, if we're going to say that Machshava over here, we're talking about you have to speak. So what does that mean? The whole time you're shechting, you have to be speaking L'shem Pesach, L'shem Pesach, L'shem Pesach. What's the Svara? Why is the Gemara even bothering to ask that if you did it at the beginning, yes, and the end, no? Right. So, okay, Tosfos gives two answers. First of all, we're not necessarily talking about within the Shechita itself. Rashi is explaining it's talking about within the Shechita itself, within the one avoda. Tosfos says not necessarily. It could be talking about two different avodas. He shechted at the same Pesach and then was makabel without saying again that it's the same Pesach. He's makabel stam.
No, we said it wouldn't work before.
No. We said that if he's makabel l'shem another korban, then it would be possible because of Pesach. But here we're talking about, here the Gemara is talking about, the implication seems to be, before he shechted, he said, I'm shechting the l'shem Pesach. Then he comes to the kibbutz and he doesn't say anything at all. He just is mekabela without saying anything. That might be what the Gemara is asking. Or Tosfos says, fine, maybe even if we say we're talking about within one avoda. No, but he would start by saying, I'm going to be doing this entire shchita, l'shem Pesach. If you didn't say this entire shchita, then you have a question. What about at the end of it if you're not saying anything?
It's
still been only the shchita. He still have to say it again by the kibbutz. He'd still again by the kabbalah. He'd still again have to say it by the halacha, etc.
For the
kabbalah, that might be. So that's Tosfos one possibility that Tosfos mentions. That's what we're dealing with in the Gemara over here. And again, the implication seems to be that even by a Pesach, that would work. Because otherwise, the Mishnah is telling us only because he had in mind Pesach and Shlomim is it possible, because he mixed in a Shlomim over there. But if he didn't mix in anything else, even though it's Stam, the implication is it would be kosher. Maybe that's where Rava is getting it from. Alma Stomen to L'shmon Dami. So it sounds like Stomen is good. It's okay. It's L'shmon.
Within one animal.
Yeah. The problem with that is Dilma Shiny Hosta. Maybe not. Maybe it's different over there. Dama, because we can say as a general rule, Kala Oysa Das Rishona Hu Oysa. Fine, when a person does something later on, he has in mind the original Das that he does. So if he shechted it, the whole thing stam, he never had in mind, or he never said anything at all, that's L'shem Pesach, not necessarily would be kosher. As long as at the beginning he said it's L'shem Pesach, fine, you could argue as long as later on he doesn't again say it's L'shem Shlomim and he's okay. But that doesn't prove that if L'Hachila, when he's shechting it, he didn't say anything at all, that it should be kosher. Not necessarily. There's no doubt to show over there.
It could be. He started saying L'shem something, and then he didn't say anything.
So that, we could argue, would be kosher. Right. That the implication of that mission of fine is valid. You can say, what? So you need to say it at the beginning, right? You're Yotza, I think, but still, no, you do have to have in mind that you're doing the Shem Mitzvah. But you bring up a good point, because, for example, they talk about this Gemara in relevance to other things that need to be done, Mishma. Masas, tzitzis, et cetera, that, yeah, you do have, for example, you're tying tzitzis on a beged, for example. You don't have to be saying the whole time, well, shame is for tzitzis.
No.
You say at the beginning, and then now Dr. Shoner, who always said, and it continues from there. But if you didn't start, so that's the question. All Gemara is dealing with the question whether the stam is kosher. If you were to just start putting strings in the corners without having in mind that it is or isn't the shame tzitzis, would it be kosher or not? That's what we're dealing with over here. That's the kind of thing we're dealing with, yeah.
So a sukkah, you don't have to...
A sukkah doesn't have to be built for shema. You have certain mitzvahs. Actually, it can. Sukkah gan vach is kosher, as long as it's the same sale, as long as it's done for shade. Yeah. I'm not saying that would be the best thing to do. You yourself should be involved in it. I have a Gemara in sukkah that mentions four types of sukkahs that were made by people who are not chayiv in the mitzvah. Sukkahs ganvach, goyim, what is it? Goyim, noshim, behema, none of those put up by behema, but put up for the sake of behemas, and then kusim, that all those are kosher, because they were all made for shame sale. They were all made for shade. See, a sukkah doesn't have to be specifically be built b'shma. You have certain mitzvahs that don't have to be done, that don't have to be done l'shma, but you have ones that do. Tzitzis have to be tied l'shma, masa has to be made l'shma, l'shem masas mitzvah, tefillin, sefer Torah, and mezuzah have to be written l'shma. Yeah, the guest has to be written l'shma, as we're saying over here. You have a few. They're saying l'shem masas mitzvah. If you say it, then I don't know. It's a good question, but I would imagine I'd probably at least explain to them the basics of it. I don't know.
They
say, yeah. Okay.
They have to be Jewish, right?
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I have no idea, frankly. All right. Anyway, so you can't necessarily, again, you can prove from that thing about the Pesach versus Shlomim or Pesach versus Stam that as long as you had Machshava at the beginning, then you're good. You can't necessarily prove from that if there's no Machshava at the beginning, that should be good, which is what Rava is out to prove. Okay, so that doesn't work. Okay, how about Elami Seifa? Fine, let's try to learn from the Seifa, that same Mishnah. Shaloi l'shman v'l'shman. We give another example where the Pesach would be possible. If you had in mind first Shaloi l'shman and later on l'shman, for example, l'shem shlomim l'shem Pesach. First you had in mind that it's a shlomim. Later on you had in mind it's a Pesach. Also no good. Again, time of da'am l'shem shlomim l'shem Pesach. Again, the implication seems to be, why is it possible? Because you had in mind shlomim over there at the beginning. Ha stamo l'shem Pesach kosher. Implying, but if you started out stam and then you continued with Pesach, it sounds like it would be good. But so maybe that's where Robert is getting it from. But the answer is still not. Duma shiny hosam. Again, maybe it's different over there. Maybe we can say the other way around. The fact that at the end, that later on you said that L'shem Pesach, that demonstrates that to begin with, that to begin with the whole thing was being done L'shem that. Okay, so he didn't think that he didn't verbalize it before that.
At the end.
Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about, let's say, within the Shechita itself. Yeah. At the end of the Shechita, you have to, wait a minute, I'm shechting the Pesach over here. So that, and said so. So that would be fine. That would be retroactively going back to the beginning. According to Tosfos, maybe we could be even talking about different avodas. But whatever, the point is, again, we're trying to ask the question, if he did all four avodas stam, and Rava is trying to argue that it should be kosher, where is he getting that from? It still doesn't work yet. Inami, or another possibility, you could say maybe you can't be medayek from on Mishnah at all, from that Mishnah at all about Pesach and Mishlamim. I did a ton of Lashman, Shaloi Lashman, since it mentioned the case where Lashman came first, and then Shaloi Lashman, Tananami, Shaloi Lashman, Lashman, so therefore it continued for parallelism with Shaloi Lashman and then Lashman, even though maybe it would also be possible even if it was Stam and Lashman. So you can't necessarily prove from that Mishnah deal like that if Stam came at the beginning, then it should be kosher. Elameha. No, here's where Rava is getting from. A Mishnah later on in our Masechta as follows. L'shem shisha dvarim azevach nizbach. There are six things that have to be had in mind when the korban is being shechted and when the other avodas are being done. L'shem zevach, number one for the particular type of korban that's supposed to be, chatos, shlomim, whatever. L'shem zeveach, in the name of the person who is bringing it, so it should be for Reuven, not for Shimon. L'shem Shem, or L'shem Hashem, that it's in honor of Hashem, that it is for Hashem.
It does later on.
Over here, we're not bringing the Limudim. Later on, we'll learn at the end of the fourth paragraph. The Gemara is going to bring the Limudim for all six of these things. No, here we're not mentioning it yet. But it has to be L'shem Hashem, L'hakodesh Baruch Hu, that it's addressed to Hashem. who said he wouldn't score. But okay. L'shem ishim. That, so that's three so far. Again, l'shem zevach, l'shem zeveach, l'shem shem. L'shem ishim. You have to have in mind that it's going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Not that you're just going to roast it on the mizbeach and then eat the parts that are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. You're going to roast them and then eat them. It has to be that you have in mind that they're going to be completely burnt. L'shem reyach. You have to have in mind that there will be an aroma. We know by every carbon it says reyach nichayach. Reyach means that there should be an aroma, smell. The smell of when it's being burnt, as opposed to, Rashi says, from the Gemara over there, if, let's say, for example, if you were to take, let's say, with an oila, you were to take the pieces of the oila that are supposed to be, which the whole thing is supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, you were first going to roast them in a fire off the mizbeach, and then bring them on the mizbeach, then there's no reyach, because then you don't have, the aroma is not the same. You don't have an aroma of it burning on the mizbeach when it's already roasted.
There is an aroma.
It's not the same kind. It's not the same. So that's l'shem reyach and l'shem nichoyach. And the sixth thing you have to have in mind is l'shem nichoyach. As a nachas ruach to Hashem. As Rashi says on the first time it says reyach nichoyach, nachas ruach afanai shomarti v'nasu v'tzoni. Hashem says, I have pleasure from the fact that I commanded and what I said is being done. So those are the six things you have to have in mind with every korban. V'achatas v'oshem. And in the case of achatas v'oshem, you have to have a seventh thing in mind. L'shem chet. You have to have in mind the particular chet that is being brought for. And the point is, the reason why we're bringing this is Omer of Yoshi.
Do you have to have them in this order?
No. Remember, Omer of Yoshi. Ask me Shalahoi believe Lashem Achas Nikolaylu. No, even if you didn't have any of these things in mind, you just did Stam, you didn't mention any of these things, kosher, the Korban will still be kosher. Shetnai based in it. Because the Tznai Beistin, the Beistin made a takana that just Shecht and do the other Avodah Stam don't even mention Lashmoy for reasons that the Gemara is going to say in a second. After Beistin, the Chachamim made a takana that you should not say Lashmoy, Dilma of Tilamemish, Shalom Lashmoy, because you might mistakenly say Shalom Lashmoy. Meaning, in other words, again, if you had to say every time before you shecht an ola, this is an ola, you might sometimes slip. You're a koyan, you're a tzar, you're an expert shechet, you're shechting hundreds of korbanos maybe that day. You could slip up. You could end up making a mistake. But the tnai basin is don't say anything at all. And that way it'll be kosher, it'll be l'shem, as we said before, the zvacham, the stomach shechet.
That's for the comment.
Well, in the case of the Shechita, it could be anybody. Shechita, Shechita, Bazaar. In the case of the Kabbalah, and I lost. That's the point that it can be the Shema. So that's the point. The Yisach Adaitach Stom Apostle. So if you're going to tell me that if you shech the Korban or do any of the other Avodah Stam and you were going to argue it's Apostle, what's the logic? Kaimi based in Umasni Mil to the Mifsal Day. Would the based in go and make a Takana that is going to end up making the Korban Apostle? Don't think anything, don't say anything, and the Korban is going to be Apostle? Obviously not. That proves, therefore, that a korban, that where the avodah is done with Sam, must be kosher. Because otherwise, the tonight, but otherwise, Basin could never have made such a tonight. By the way, I mean, with that said, though, Mepharshim points out, we're talking specifically, actually, about the thing of Lashman. Again, we have six things over here, Lashem Zevach, Lashem Zeveach, another one. The other things you do have to have to say, at the very least, the ones Lashem Hashem, Lashem Reach, Lashem Nichoyach, for example, because those ones, you're not going to mix up. You're not going to be shechting 99 korbanos Lashem, and then mistakenly say by the 100th one that I'm doing it not Lashem. So therefore, obviously, you should be saying it. As opposed to, you're shechting an ola, and then the next one is a chatos, and you might get... So that, yeah. Okay. Fine. So that establishes, that's how we know that stoma works, by korbanos. Now, what about the other half of what Rava said? Rava had also pointed out that, on the other hand, with a get, we know that if it's the stom, it's possible. Where is Rava getting that from? The Gava get the stom apostle manolam. Where is Rava getting the other half of what he said? That if a get is written the stam, not having any particular woman in mind, that is apostle manolam. Where is he getting that from? No, but you could have, for example...
That means
hold on. You don't put last names in Gittin. But besides that, also, you can have, exactly. So you can have, for example, even nowadays, if they have last names, you still don't write them. But you could easily have, you sometimes have. You open up a sefer, you find a sample, for example, Heter Isker or whatever. You know, it says Reuven Goldstein and Shimon Silverstein or whatever. And boom, it happens. You know, hey, we're doing a business deal and our names, yeah. So it could happen that you write it. That's what we're going to see in our Gemara. So where are we getting that such a thing would be possible? Ilema Mahadis now. Are you getting it from what it says in the Mishnah and Gittin as well?
Of course, I say it's a Svara. Why do we don't say it's a Svara?
Well, what kind of Svara? Where do you have a Svara for that? Why?
It's obvious if you don't.
No. Why should it be obvious?
It could go for another woman.
Doesn't matter. No, that's not the point. But where is Rava getting it from? Ilema Mahadis now. If you're getting it from this that we learn in the Mishnah and Gittin as follows. Hoya over Bashuk, if somebody is walking through in the street, the Shama Sofrim Makrin, and he overhears Sofrim are reading off or teaching their Talmidim how to write a sample get, Ish Pliny, Girish Pliny, Samachim Pliny, that Pliny has divorced Pliny from such and such a place, but Omar and the person walking in the street says to himself, hey, Zeshmi, Zeshem Ishti, hey, that's my name, that's my wife's name, that's my city, let me go in and then buy one of these gifts and off them and I'll use it. I've got a problem. The Mishnah says,
It was a simple guy.
He said, well, yeah. No, says the Mishnah, Pasul Megarish, such a get is Pasul to be Megarish with. So maybe that's where Robert is getting the idea that a get is which the Stam is Pasul, that has to be right. The answer is no, not necessarily, because Dilma could be a Papa. Maybe you could understand that Mishnah, like a Papa explains in the Gemara over there. Dilma Papa, Hacha B'Sofrim HaSurim L'Islam Adaskinan, because here we're talking about Sofrim who are learning how to write a sample yet. But like Ichtim, L'Shem Chris's Cloud. Never mind the question whether it was written L'Shmar or not. It wasn't even written for the sake of Gerushin. You could argue, if you have something that was written L'Shem Gerushin, but not specifically with this woman in mind, maybe already Pasha. No, the Torah says for Christus, right. So definitely you have to have in mind Christus. But over here, fine, they didn't even have in mind Christus because they're just writing another sample. So you can't prove anything from that mission. Maybe in that case it's possible because there's no Christus. Doesn't prove necessarily if they wrote it L'shem Get, L'shem Gedershin, but not having her in mind, they just wrote it Stoma, that should be possible. Maybe not necessarily. So El Omehal, maybe we get it from the following mission, also there in Gidgin. Yes, there are Cain. Besides that, here's a case that's even more of a Chiddush. Custom regardless of Ishtai, somebody wrote out a get, having in mind that he's going to divorce his wife, Vinimlach, then he changed his mind, must have been Ira, and then somebody from his city meets up with him, V'amalei, and he says, hey, you know, Shmi Kishimcha, V'shem Ishti Kishem Ishtacha, I have the same name as you, my wife has the same name as your wife, we're both from the same city, let me take that get from you, you don't want to use it anymore, let me use it to divorce my wife, and he said, Pasul Lagarish, right? So there, Lachora, now there you have, it was written L'shem Kristus, it was written to have in mind for divorce, and yet it's not L'shma, it's not for it's not having in mind sort of Goldstein, it had in mind sort of Silverstein, and therefore it doesn't work. No, maybe not. Dilma Shiny Awesome. Maybe that still does. Maybe you can't prove anything from there. That's a special case.
Maybe it would work.
Maybe no. Maybe there's a difference between Stam versus having somebody else in mind. Just like over here with Korbanos, the same. We're saying there's a difference between saying I'm shechting this korban Stam versus saying I'm shechting it as a different korban. Maybe that get, and it's the same thing. The intik le'lashem gedush and dahu. There, that get was specifically written having in mind to divorce Sarah Goldstein. So maybe therefore it doesn't work for Sarah Silverstein. How can you prove from that if it was written Stam for any Sarah that it shouldn't work for Sarah Goldstein? Maybe it should. Ella meha. So no, maybe Rava is getting his svara for the following. That's the point. No, but there you're shechting, you're doing Kabbalah Saddam, you're doing action.
You're doing a mice of shechting. Here you're doing a writing of mice of
action.
What do you mean?
They didn't think about the Shema.
No, but over there, okay, he's thinking in the bed over there. He's doing the actual Avoda. I mean, it doesn't matter. That's what we said before. It doesn't matter whether he actually has in mind that's a particular carbon or not, as long as he doesn't think that's a different carbon. So over here, by Gittin, maybe you could argue again, if you had in mind a different woman, then it's possible. But if you had in mind no particular woman at all, and it happens to be her name, maybe it should work. Elameha. No, maybe Rava is getting it from as follows. Yes, there are Cain. Continues again, the Mishnah continues over there in Gittin. Even more than that, here's another case. Yesh l'shtei nashim shashmetein Shabbat. A person has two wives with the same name. Cost of the garish l'gzola. Cost of the garish l'gzola. So if he wrote a get having in mind to divorce the older one, lo yagarish l'etakani, he's not allowed to turn around and change his mind and use it to divorce the younger one. So maybe you would say there again, that there you have Stam, that shows that Stam is possible. Again, Dilma, shiny hossam, geitikwe l'shem gerish and dahi. Fine, but maybe that's also a special case again. In the previous case, you had that it was meant for the gerishin of Reuven, and of Reuven Goldstein, and now it's going to be used for Reuven Silverstein, and that doesn't work. Now we're saying, okay, even if it's Reuven Goldstein, but you have Sarah Junior, Sarah Senior, and Sarah Junior. So fine, you had in mind Sarah Senior is no good for Sarah Junior. Again, how does that prove? You had in mind Sarah Stam that it shouldn't be good for either one of them. You can't prove that yet. Ella Meha. No, maybe we get it from here. The Mishnah continues. Yes, there are Cain. Amar lo lav lo ksav, suppose this husband with the two wives named with the same name says to the sofer, write a get, later on I'll decide which one of the two of them I want to be megarish with it. Also possible megarish by. So now there you have, there it's stam, and we're saying it's possible. There it seems more clear. But no, Dilma shiny husband, the inbreda, maybe that's a separate case. Because if they ain't breda, you can't say that that's worse than stomach. You didn't have in mind the particular one, and now you're trying to use it for one particular one. You said that I'm going to use it for either one or the other, and at the time I'll decide. That's breda, and breda doesn't work in things that are like that. But again, how does that prove with stam, where you're not having anybody in mind at the time, and then later on you're planning to use it? How do we see that doesn't work?
If you didn't have
any person in mind, maybe it would be okay. Because you had... No, stam would be you didn't have anybody in mind. Here, right. You had one of two people in mind.
Okay.
So therefore, that's different. Ela meha. No, Rava is getting it from here. The Mishnah says, also in Gittin, hakosav tos for Gittin, if a sofer is writing out forms for Gittin, now you can have, the Gemara explains over there, that he may have a bunch of pre-written forms, that then he just has to fill in the details when he needs them. So fine. Well, by the chuppas, I hope they don't do toast to Gittin, but you mean toast to Xilvus, yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean, right, they have toast to Xilvus. A Xilva doesn't have to be written Lashma, though, a get does, that's the difference. Okay, but anyway, so by Gittin, a Xilva doesn't have to be written Lashma. Okay, so our codes of toast to Gittin. You have to leave blank spaces for the name of the husband, the name of the wife, the name where the place where the Edim are going to sign, and the place where you're going to write the date. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, you also have to leave blank the space where you write the word Hareyat Mecheres Kodam, which is the essential formula of the get. So we see that essential formula has to actually be written Lashma, when you know which particular husband and which particular wife it's going to be used for. So there, that is where we see that. If it was written Sam, then it's no good. That is where Rava is getting the distinction that by a get, if it's written Sam, then it's possible. Because otherwise, you could write Hareyat Mecheres Kodam, pre-write it, and then you'll fill in the husband and wife's name when you get
the rest of the get, you can.
So the boilerplate of the get, right, the rest of it, you can. But the Hareyat Mecheres Kodam, so that's the thing. Even though Hareyat Mecheres Kodam is kind of part of the boilerplate, you have the text, that you have those words in every get. But it's considered the Torah. It's the essence of the get.
Do they write it in every get?
Every get. No, it can't be pre-written. That's the point. Every single get has to have the words in it, Hareyat Mecheres Kodam. But that is, even though...
It cannot be pre-written.
That's the point. Those words have to be written Lashma. Those words are the essence of the get. And they have to be written Lashma when we know which husband and which wife are going to be using this get. So that is why, where we see that the stam is possible when it comes to getting, because otherwise you could pre-write that just like the rest of the boilerplate, that would be kosher. That is where Rava is getting that by a get such a thing is possible. By the fact that we're saying that you can't write that in ahead of time. So you can't write that in ahead of time, right?
By the way, if you write just that line at the time of the get, is she considered
Well, midaraisa, yes. Midaraisa, all you need is the word Hareyat Mecheres Kodam. Midrabanan, you also need the midrabanan. You also need the names and the dates and edim and so forth. Where,
so if her husband writes
Hareyat Mecheres Kodam, well, you still need to give it to her in front of edim. You don't do it in front of edim.
Yeah,
if you were to write that in front of him, then fine, she'd be on a daraisa level. She'd be midrasha. On the drabanan level,
why not?
Yeah. Okay.